From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Let the seed shopping season begin. The 2024 offerings are being loaded into seed catalog websites, and the earliest print catalogs are already arriving in our mailboxes, as if to help soften the separation anxiety we may feel if we've already put our gardens to bed for the winter. One that I always look forward to is Turtle Tree Seed, a biodynamic company where years ago I discovered a few must-have vegetable varieties that I've grown every garden season since. More in a moment from Turtle Tree, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for Away to Garden comes from Colorblend's Wholesale flower bulbs for landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at colorblends.com. Season your spring with Colorblends this fall. Also from High Mowing Seeds, Woolcut, Vermont, featuring 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project certified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com.
My guest today is Leah Babich, co-manager of Turtle Tree Seed in Copaic, New York, which offers about 400 biodynamically grown varieties of vegetable, herb, and flower seeds. Turtle Tree is part of Camp Hill Village Copaic, a nonprofit intentional community of adults with developmental differences. Leah will tell us a little more about that and about biodynamics, and I suspect she'll entice us with news of some of the upcoming seed offerings too. Hi, Leah, are you going to get us shopping, are you?
Hi, Margaret. Nice to
I should say with the transcript of this show over on awaytogarden.com, I'm going to do a gift certificate giveaway as well. So that'll be fun for people. And we just did a recent New York Times garden column together, which was also fun for me to any excuse to talk seeds with you. So the catalog's at the printer and stuff's being uploaded madly into the website. Is that where you guys are at?
It is. Yep. And also seed packets are madly being filled.
Oh boy. So probably to briefly just set the scene, Turtle Tree is part of Camp Hill Village in Copaic, New York, up in the Hudson Valley, as I mentioned in the introduction. And what's Camp Hill Village?
So Camp Hill Village is an intentional community that especially surrounds the needs of people with developmental challenges. And we are part of a network of Camp Hill Villages worldwide, but each one is independently run. And ours is in Copaic, and it's in a beautiful valley of about 700 acres, mostly woodland. And in that valley, there are around 100 people with developmental challenges and about 130 or so people who support, including families with children who grow up here. We live in houses with usually a family or some long-term people, and then 3 or 4 or 5 folks with developmental challenges, and then a revolving staff of young people who come to volunteer from all over the world to do an interesting gap year and have a new experience.
Mm. Every time I come to visit, I feel like it's like my happy place. It makes me feel better because everyone, regardless of their abilities or any limitations, is invited to contribute. I mean, everyone has a job, part of every process, you know, and I think you call it life sharing, and it's work sharing too. It's like Absolutely. Everyone's involved.
Yeah. It's for the people who live here, we don't earn a salary. And so in that sense, we're all equal. And you just contribute what you're able to contribute. For somebody, it might be that they are able to sweep floors. And for somebody, it may be that they are able to do administrative work in the office. And those jobs are all valued and important.
Yes.
To make sure that everyone is well cared for in the village.
Yes. And in the village, there are other businesses besides the seed company. And the whole place is nonprofit. Camp Hill is a nonprofit and everything's nonprofit. But there's a bakery and there's other businesses as well that
We're really great coffee shop. Yeah. Does really good coffee.
It does.
Yep. And a wonderful bakery. There is candle making, book binding and paper craft, woodworking. And then as well, there are many land areas. There is a dairy farm that is just for our own use, but it's wonderful to have the cows, and a lot of people can participate and care for the animals. There's a herb and healing plant garden, which is absolutely beautiful. It's sort of 3 acres of just absolute beauty, raised beds and you know, herbs and flowers that are grown as much for beauty as for use, but they're all put to use as well. We help make some remedies for Uriel Pharmacies, who does homeopathic remedies.
So lots of endeavors going on that are part of the community, part of the whole.
Yeah. And there's also a forestry and sort of, we call it a state, but it's sort of people who look after, you know, mowing in the summer, leaf raking in the fall, snow shoveling in the winter, but also maple syrup. And that's a big part of our winter work on the
land. Oh, nice. Nice. And so the principles behind Camp Hill and behind biodynamic gardening and farming are based on the teachings of the philosopher and scientist Rudolf Steiner. And so biodynamically speaking, that's important because he gave these lectures, how many years ago was it? When was it?
It was in 1924, so almost 100 years.
Yeah, so a century ago, that were like the basis of biodynamic farming and therefore also gardening. These principles that were set forth, and I have seen it referred to as, biodynamics referred to as, sort of premium organic, like, and you always say to me, well, we do all the stuff they do in organic, and then we also do some other stuff. Yeah, exactly. Right. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So one of the, you know, there are many ways to kind of get into biodynamics, but maybe an accessible way is that we look at the whole area of land as an organism, and we try to have that organism have many healthy parts and that work together well, and that support each other. And we also work with the Stella Natura star calendar, and we also work with herbal remedies called biodynamic preparations that we use for the land and to help build healthy compost.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that because I'm a lifelong composter, and I have a giant compost heap and so forth. And I think, like a lot of gardeners, we would like to do even better with it. And I feel like you almost like cultivate your compost, like it's much more thoughtful and considered. We're not just throwing stuff in and hoping for the best. And I noticed in the catalog, and it comes, they derive from one of those Rudolf Steiner lectures from a century ago. There's a series of, I think, six preparations, compost preparations, herbal, I guess, are they powders maybe that you add to your compost? And I wanted to ask you about those because you sell them as well.
We do, yeah. So for our own use, we make them all on our farm, but there's also an organization called Josephine Porter Institute, which makes biodynamic preparations for people who aren't able to make them on in their own farms or gardens, because it's kind of an involved process. Those six different herbal remedies, those go into the compost pile, and you know, sort of as you make the heap, then they can go in, and then every time you turn it, if you're really intentional about it, then you can add more. And they just help to balance out both the life inside the compost, and then also how that will support the life of the plants. For us, compost is so essential because we don't buy in outside fertilizers of any kind.
Right.
All of our fertility comes from the land here. So it comes from our cows, and which we're so blessed to have cow manure. It's like gold.
Yes.
Really, it's I think even more than other cow products, the manure is like the reason to have a cow.
Yeah.
But also just the plant matter that we have that we grow, you know, that grows in abundance every year and then needs cutting back or.
Yeah.
So that's, for us, the compost is our fertility, and that is what makes our gardens beautiful and vibrant and what builds the soil. And so for us, it's really essential to have good compost. It's not, you know, it's not something that we're going to, if it's like, well, it's okay this year, we're going to just add a little bit of this and a little bit of that from someplace else. That's, you know, that's not
right.
How it is.
Right. And these preparations, I think there's yarrow, chamomile, stinging nettle, oak bark, dandelion, valerian. And again, they're from these century old formulas. I mean, it's really fascinating. And so I'm interested, you know, I'm kind of digging in, you know, I want to learn more about that and see what impact that would have. So I always order the same things, Leah. As I said in the introduction, as long as I've known Turtle Tree, I always order the same things. That big sweet Schweizer Riesen snow pea and Aunt Ada's Italian pole bean that has become the secret ingredient in my vegetable soup, and a long storing selection of butternut squash that you have that really, really keeps for all through the winter and into the spring. But I want to widen my horizons for 2024. And so everyone always has a strong opinion on the best tomatoes, and everyone loves to grow tomatoes. So I see you even have some sort of these samplers, these like multi-packs and mixed packs where I can get like five kinds of tomatoes and try them. Tell me some tomatoes that you think Margaret should try or other people should try, like favorite tomatoes. Starter.
Let's see. I mean, there's so many, it's hard to choose, but I think there are a couple that I always have to grow. And one of those is the blush. It's kind of an elongated, it's in the cherry tomato section, but it's more of like a, I don't know, an oval shape than a shape.
So more grape than cherry.
Even more like very small plum tomato. They're kind of pale yellowish, and then they get these pink stripes on them, which are really pretty. But aside from being pretty, they're also really delicious. And if you dry them, they're like candy.
My goodness. Great idea. That's great to know, a good one for drying. That's great.
And there are several, we have several other ones in our catalog that are also good for drying. But that one is like, it's really just like candy. I mean, it's so amazing.
Okay. So blush.
Yeah. Okay. And it's just, I mean, if you can bear to save any to dry, that's...
If they even make it into the house from the garden.
Exactly. So there's that one. And then for canning, San Marzano is a kind of a very standard variety, but I love our selection of it so much. And, you know, we've had years where, you know, it didn't get weeded and it was just in a swamp and of weeds, and it still produced. There were years where we didn't stake it and it was fine. Like, we've thrown everything at this tomato, and it's it just produces kind of no matter what. And I make a lot of tomato sauce, so for me that's really essential.
Great idea. That's great. That's good to know.
And then the other one, well, there are a couple of other ones for slicing that I just adore. I really, really love the striped German tomato. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of red and yellow striped and absolutely beautiful, great flavor, and just looks great on a plate. If you're doing, you know, something where you're going to put something on top of it and have little bites, it's just so beautiful. And then also for flavor, well, that one has fantastic flavor. And then there are a couple of others that are just really, for me, just outstanding. There's persimmon tomato, slicing tomato, Aunt Zabeth's Belgian beefsteak, and the black crème tomato. And those are all just, I mean, well, there are more too, but
Yeah. And then. But those are some great ones, because those are ones I think I grew San Marzano a million years ago, but those are ones I've not grown. So that's great. Great. And in these you have multi packs and mixed packs. So you got five smaller packs, like samplers, as I said before. And I think you have a tomato assortment in each of those different sampler kind of offerings, the multi packs and the mixed packs. I think one is like the mixed pack of heirloom tomatoes. So that's another way to, like, without buying five full size packs of something, to maybe try, an assortment of things. And I think you have even a smaller multi pack of different tomatoes. And so that's kind of, an invitation to, let's expand our horizons, right? To really try some new things.
Yeah, because you might not want 25 of the same tomato plant kind of tomato, but
Right. And that's the thing, is it's right.
just a couple
Perfect.
of seeds, but you'll get, a couple of plants of each that you can put in your garden. If you don't have a huge garden and you want to have a bigger variety, then that's a great way to do it.
Right. So I mentioned a bean that I gr always grow and ate is the pole bean, which is like a dual purpose bean, and it's just fantastic. And as I said, I use it in my vegetable soup, and I just eat it, steamed and so forth as well. But I love the one called Provider, because if there was ever a good name for a plant, that bean is well named, because boy, does it provide. Do you
I don't.
agree?
Yeah. It definitely, the more, I mean, beans, the more you harvest, the more they grow, but this is really kind of takes that to the extreme. So
Just keeps providing. It's like it's a bush bean, yeah, and it just keeps going and going and going. I mean, it's amazing. When we did the New York Times story together, you called out something with the common name of Cape gooseberry to me. And the thing is, it's not a gooseberry actually, and it's more closely related to ground cherries or tomatillos, but it's not one of those either. And what is this thing?
So it's, yeah, I mean, it has a shell like a tomatillo or a ground cherry, and inside it has a little, kind of tomatillo or ground cherry shaped berry or
Right.
fruit. But it doesn't drop like a ground cherry drops when it's ripe. And it doesn't pop out of its shell like a tomatillo does when it's ripe. But
So it
when
stays in the husk. It stays
yeah.
on the sort of bushy plant in the husk.
And when the husk turns kind of tannish color, from it sort of, it's green and then it turns kind of yellowish and tan, as it dries down, then usually that's when the fruit is ripe. And it's quite a bright golden color. Sometimes people know them as golden berries. And it just has this outstanding, totally different flavor. It's very tropically and citrusy, and you just think, what the heck is this? And it's great in chutneys, it's good in sauces. If you can get out of the garden without eating them all, you can use them for those things. It's quite a different flavor. It's kind of a both sweet and savory, has both sweet and savory options, I would say.
Right. And it's a Physalis, the genus, and it's I think it's species Peruviana. And you have in a different species of Physalis, you have a tomatillo, a gorgeous purple tomatillo, which I think that's Physalis philadelphica, I think. So that would really make the purple tomatillo would make a salsa of a really different color, right? That would be hilarious.
Does, yeah, it's beautiful. And also the purple tomatillo, when it's like really ripe, especially if you have a nice hot summer, the fruits are actually delicious raw as well. A lot of tomatillos I find can be kind of a bit like too sour, maybe
Yes.
salsa, but a little too sour. But this one, it actually sweetens up. No, it's not very, very sweet, but it sweetens up enough that you can definitely eat it raw as well. And we've even juiced it, which is makes this.
Because you're just nutty over there.
I mean, it is my stuff.
You're,
What the heck?
yeah,
But it's fun.
exactly. Exactly. I guess if you got enough of something, you're going to try all the angles, right?
Well, also when we're saving seeds, like we have to worry it up in the blender. So then we strain out the juice. So it's there's kind of that component as well. That was where we first got the idea to try juicing it.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. I want to just take a minute to talk about some flowers because I don't want to run out of time. We still have, you know, 6-7 minutes left, but you have so many great flowers, and I know both you and Ian Robb, your co-manager at Turtle Tree, are crazy about flowers as well as edibles. And I love that you have seed grown dahlias. Now tell us about that, because I think the big objection to dahlias is, you know, the tubers are expensive, right? If you bought them from tubers. Yeah.
A packet of seed is like, you know, $4 or so, and you can get probably 30, 40, maybe 50, 60 plants out of it. Even more maybe. And those plants will grow into full-size dahlia plants. The interesting thing when you're growing them from seed is that you just never know what you're going to get, because dahlias readily cross-pollinate with each other, and they just create new forms all the time. And so our mix is mostly kind of the daisy-shaped flowers, but you kind of never know. Some might be fully double, some might be semi-double, some might have kind of the spidery cactus-shaped petals, some might have quite like oval petals, and then you just never know what colors you're going to get. This year we had a lot of oranges and reds and yellows, which we usually do. We had a few pinks in there, a couple of whites in there, but you know, one of the yellow ones was this huge, you know, multi-double or fully double flower that had kind of a little bit of pink just at the edge. And you know, we've never seen that form before. It just sort of appeared. And you know, there were beautiful orange ones that had kind of lighter orange towards the outside and darker orange in the middle. So you get all these different things, and you can then save the tubers from the ones that you like the best, and you have
tubers. Oh, so you can grow your own tubers. Exactly. Of course, old Margaret over here didn't even think of that aspect of it. That's funny.
But, you know, if you have like, you know, 30, 40, 50 plants, you can make a hedge out of them, which we often, you know, we have a big long row, and in kind of August, September, it's just this mass of flowers. And the bumblebees absolutely love it. They spend the nights in the flowers very often. So if you're picking flowers in the early morning, you might have to disrupt some bumblebees before you bring your flowers in. But I think they sleep there, you know, during the cold night, and then they have a pollen source right next to them when they wake up.
Well, and pollinators love those single flower forms, the daisy-like flower forms like you were describing, because they can get sustenance from them. So, and the other thing you were talking about, what shows up, the color and shape sort of range that reveals itself from generation to generation. And I should have said earlier on, I think I probably forgot, all of your varieties, besides being biodynamically grown, are also open pollinated. And so each next, you know, if you let something self-sow, it's going to reveal itself, right? It's going to it's going to show more diversity.
And with the dahlia, certainly it's very easy to save seed from them if you want to, and then you'll have a completely different set of probably some similar but not altogether similar dahlias next year. So a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun.
Any other couple of quick flowers that you want to shout out for us that we should consider? Because, I mean, a lot of us, you know, go for zinnias and marigolds and, you know, sort of the usual suspects, but anything else to?
One of my favorites right now is our salmon frills poppy. And it's, I mean, as it says, it's kind of salmon, like peachy, pinkish kind of color, orangey pink. And it is mostly double, but also some like semi-double blooms. And the bees just absolutely love it. It's really easy to grow because you just, you know, just kind of throw the seed out on the cold ground, maybe rake it in a little bit if you feel like it, and they grow. And of course there's the bees in the blossoms. There's like, you know, I've counted 10, 12 bees in one blossom sometimes. it's just like it's so busy. And then they have the really cool seed pods as well. So you get kind of this whole, you know, season of different interest, which I really like.
So this is an opium or bread seed poppy then? Yeah, papaver, somniferum. Yeah, oh, I love them. I didn't know there was a salmon color. Oh my goodness, now I've got to definitely mark that down to add to my order. That's a great idea. And you're right, and I love the pods. The pods are just like the best as well. And they're so filled with those tiny seeds. So you just direct sow like late winter, is that what you're saying, into an open space?
Yeah, early spring, you know, even just like when you're sowing your peas, kind of, you're like, okay, oh, yeah, poppy's over.
Okay.
Yeah. Or right. Even sometimes the winter before, you can just, or the fall, late fall before, you could even sow them now, I suppose. And of course, once you grow them, then you have a million seeds, and you can, they will self-sow if you kind of leave them that long.
Yes.
Also, they kind of, the seed pods are these little salt shakers that you can just shake all over.
Yes. Yes, they're wonderful. Well, lots of good possibilities. I'm so glad to speak to you again. And like I said at the beginning, I want to do a gift certificate giveaway with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com. Leah Babich, co-manager of Turtle Tree Seed in Copaic, New York, not far from me. I'm just so happy and I'm so excited for a new seed season. I think we all need some good news, and it's coming in the mail by catalog, right? So thank you. Thank you so much for joining me, for making time this morning. Talk to you again soon.
Yes. Bye-bye.
And I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com. And on Facebook and on Instagram as @AwayToGarden. And happy seed shopping meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden comes from Color Blends Wholesale flower bulbs for landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at colorblends.com. Season your spring with Color Blends this fall. Also from High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, featuring 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project certified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.